Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I was praying about what to preach on this morning or teach on. I mean, I love Sunday school. I love preaching, but I also love teaching and learning about the Word of God and learning, you know, not what we do know already. I mean, that's profitable if you'll put it to work. Amen. You don't put what you know to do to work, it ain't very active, it isn't very profitable to you. But there's some things that, you know, we don't know that we can still learn. I mean, how many knows every godly principle in the Bible? None of us. But here's the thing, I'm thankful for Sunday school and the time that we get to open up God's Word and just read, and we don't have to go fast, we can study a little bit, communicate with each other, and learn from the Word of God what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing. A preacher said it at camp this couple of weeks ago, there's two things you can learn from anybody, what not to do and what to do. How many know that's true? There's some things about me that you'll learn what not to do and some things to do. There's some things about you that others can learn what not to do and what to do. I remember a time in my life where I had asked God, I was like, God, why would you put me in this situation? And he kind of answered like this. You know, if he were to audibly talk to me, it would have been simply this. I want you to be a pastor and I want you to learn some things that you should not do before you become a pastor. And I thought to myself, but God, this isn't any fun for me. This isn't any fun for my wife. This isn't any fun for my kids. This church has, this is just not the vision that he said, I want you to learn some things to do and some things not to do. Now, how many think that's okay? God puts people in our lives. Sometimes we can learn. You're like, I ain't learning very much positive. Well, look. Take the things that you didn't like and the things that you saw that maybe hurt other people and learn not to do those things. Learn to get in touch with the Word of God. And here's the Bible principle. Let God be what? True, and every man a what? So you know what that makes us? We're all just a bunch of what? Liars. God has to be true in our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. We'll read. I'm going to ask Brother Walter, could you stand and pray really quick over the reading of God's Word really quick? I feel like we need to do that. So we're going to read this whole chapter of chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. If you're there, say amen. 28 verses, but I want to try to help you this morning on, will the Lord's return surprise you? You say, preacher, I know God is going to send Jesus Christ one day. How many know that's going to happen? But here's my question to you. We all know it's going to happen, but faith without works is what? So if we know it's going to happen, I wonder how many of us are doing what we're supposed to do, anticipating Christ's return. Many of us will say, I can't wait till Jesus returns. Well, if Jesus Christ returned in this moment right now, what in the last 24 hours of your life have you done to honor God? What in the last week of your life have you done to honor God? What in the last year have you done to anticipate Christ's return? You say, well, I am anticipating. I know this isn't my final home, but look, if you're anticipating God to return, here's what you'll realize. You're almost out of time. And not just for you, because if you're saved, hey, you're going to make it. You made it, but not by anything that you've done by the grace of God. But if you're really anticipating and not going to be surprised in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Jesus Christ returns, here's what you'll start doing. You'll start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Now, I wonder how many of you could honestly say in your heart, please don't raise your hands, because I don't want to embarrass myself or nobody else, but I can tell you this, there's been missed opportunities by all of us, probably in just the last week, in the last day. But many of you might say, well, preacher, if I were to be an honest man, I haven't really brought Jesus up to anybody in a long time. I dare say this morning, this message is for you as much as it is for myself. As a believer, we should not be surprised when our Lord returns. Rather, we should anticipate His return. The return of our Savior should excite us as believers. It should not make you worry. Hey, if you are worried about Jesus Christ's return, it ought to be just because of this, that you have lost loved ones. It ought not be, I don't know if I'm saved or I don't know. Hey, the Bible teaches that you can know that you are saved. It ought to excite you as a believer. Whether we like it or not, He is coming back. So what do we know about the return of our Savior? Let's read this chapter, but verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a what? So a thief in the night. There's a reason that the Bible uses that terminology over and over again. Here's the reality. A thief's not going to show up in broad daylight while you're in your front yard and just try to walk by you and go in your house and steal your stuff, is he? He'd be a fool, right? You're going to know he's there. You'll be able to catch him. Well, here, just like Jesus, look, you're not going to know when he's coming back. I know we got some theologians out there who think they've read the Bible so much and they've studied science and they can prove that on the next blood moon, Jesus Christ is coming back within 30 days. Not true. The Bible says, no man knoweth the day or the hour in which the Son of Man shall come, save the Father only. You know what that tells me? That God only knows when he's going to look to his right and he's going to say, go get your bride. Now, I believe Jesus is anticipating it. I 100% do. But I believe God only knows. He's going to come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, now he's talking to saved people, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of what, church? Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I used to work with a fella. He's an ex-Green Beret. I don't know if you know any of those dudes, but they are some bad mamma jammas. You hear me? This dude was 70 years old and would outwork any teenager, any 20, 30, 40-year-old I've ever seen in my life. We'd be out on the job sites, and we thought we was working hard. We was sweating. We was shoveling. Man, he'd come up there and grab two shovels and go to shoveling more than anybody. I mean, he was just a bad dude. But you know what he used to say, Brother Bear? He used to say this, sleep is the enemy. Sleep is the enemy. And you know what else he used to say? Pain's only temporary. Get over it. You ever met a dude like that? Sleep is the enemy. Pain's temporary. Get over it. Don't let me outwork you. But here's the deal. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? Unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. You know what I've came to realize? This day and age is that there's an awful lot of feeble-minded people out there. And I don't mean this rudely, but I'm sick and tired of grown men and women wearing their feelings on their shoulders. Folks, listen, if it hurts your feelings, the truth of the matter is probably no one else cares. And don't drag someone else into your lies, thinking that everybody else said that. I heard somebody say this past week, well, a lot of people said such and such about such and such. I stopped the young man right there because I knew the story, and I said, son, you just told a bold-faced lie. A lot of people didn't say anything to you. One person said something to you. I already knew the story. Here, how about this? When we get our little feelings hurt and we get our we wear them on our shoulder and we walk around like, oh, things just aren't the same. Hey, so what? Listen, if what we're doing is preparing for the return of Jesus Christ, why are we getting our feelings hurt? Everybody all right? Hey, listen, It's time that we as men and women grow up. You know, you used to tell your kids all the time, quit getting your feelings hurt. Don't be a tattletale. You ever tell your kids that? Why do adults run around and do that? What's the difference? Don't be a tattletale. Keep your stuff to yourself. Quit wearing your feelings. Quit being all feeble-minded. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is what? Good, both among yourselves and to all men. Here's what it says in verse 16. Rejoice when? Evermore. Pray when? Without ceasing, always, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then the Bible says this, quench not the Spirit. I like that verse because it tells me this. Brother Travis, the Spirit of God can be quenched. Everybody all right? You say, well, how do we do that? I'll tell you how. You don't rejoice. Are y'all with me? Look at verse 16. You don't rejoice. You don't pray. You don't give thanks. You render evil for evil. You cause problems. You despise things that are good. You follow after that which is evil and evil only. And then the Bible says in verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of what? Now, the Bible could have said, abstain from what? Evil. But is that what your King James Bible says? The last time I read it, which was about 30 seconds ago, it said abstain from all appearance of evil. So if I am in a place, even though my initiative was never to do wrong, but I'm in a place where someone can accuse me of doing wrong, am I disobeying God's word? You say, preacher, I don't agree with you. I don't care. It ain't me that you have to disagree with, folks. It's the Bible. If you saw me downtown Andalusia standing out in front of a bar with a bunch of drunks and you saw your preacher standing out there, what you going to think? What you going to think? Oh, that's the preacher. Surely he ain't doing nothing. No, you're going to say, why is the preacher standing in front of the bar with a bunch of drunks? Hello? If you saw me walk into the store and buy something and it wasn't for me, but you saw me walk out of the store with a brown bottle in my hand, it wasn't for me. I bought it for someone else. What are you going to think? Why should you think any different about me than you think about yourself? The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Please don't kiss me when you greet me, okay? Because I still ain't figured out what a holy kiss is. That's one of them things I ain't figured out yet, so don't try it. I got a funny story to tell you. How many know who David Campbell is? I'm going to tell on him this morning. How many know David Campbell? Everybody knows David Campbell. And Mackenzie, look, I went to a youth rally one time at Sweet Home Baptist Church when I was a kid. And that bald-headed joker met me at the door, wrapped me up, and kissed me right smack in my forehead, Brother Ricky. I said, Brother David, why did you just kiss me? He said, I was just greeting you with a holy kiss, brother. I said, I hope you're the last one that ever does that. And it was, thank God. But look, that's just a funny story, but please don't try that because I'm still trying to figure out that holy kiss, okay? I believe it's when I kiss my wife. That's got to be it. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But we read all that to go back to verses 1 through 8. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit and try to help you on the subject of will the Lord's return surprise you? What do we know about God's return? Go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I want to take you on a little biblical journey this morning. Everybody okay with that? Matthew chapter 24, after all it is Sunday school. Ain't like we got to open up our math book and do a bunch of problems here. We're just going to take a little biblical journey and find some things that we know about the coming of our Lord. Matthew chapter 24 in verse 36. Number one, I'm going to say this. We know that no man knoweth the day or the hour when it will take place. The Bible says, but of that day, Jesus speaking, and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father, what's the next word? Only. Look, now I'm not going to go so far as to say Jesus don't know, but did Jesus say that he knew when it was going to happen? He said, but my Father only. So you know what that tells me? When God is ready, it's going to happen. And there's going to be nothing we can do about it. So that's one thing we know about the return of Christ, that no man knows. And all these people, look, I know people that are constantly trying to figure out, how can I know? How can I prove? I think I got it figured out. No, you don't. You don't have it figured out. Jesus said, but my Father only. Only God will know. What you can know is this. Are you ready for the return of Christ? You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. If God were to send Jesus Christ back right now and your last chance would be over, would you go to heaven? And if so, why would you go to heaven? We were visiting this week. We knocked on a door and a lady opened the door. She was about 40 years old. She's from McKenzie. And she said she went to church out there. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know that you could go to heaven? Has anyone ever told you? She said, no one's ever really told me that. She said, I'd like to think that I'm going to go to heaven. Me and Brother Damien were door knocking. That was good. Newly saved teenager. Hey, going door knocking. Y'all with me on this? A newly saved teenager going door knocking. Been saved for a month and already door knocking. Some of y'all been saved for 50 years and ain't never knocked on a door. Shame on you. You ought to go door knocking. You ought to go soul winning. It'll help you. But we knocked on this door and this lady said, no one's ever told me that, Brother Drew, or preacher. I said, well, can I tell you? She said, yeah, tell me. And I didn't have my Bible on, but I had some gospel tracts, thank the Lord. And I began to show her that Jesus Christ died for her sins. And it became personal to her. She's like, I've never heard it like that before. She's like, I've always heard, you know, traditionally, if I'm good enough, I'll make it. You know what I'm sick of? Traditions. Everybody all right? That word is, by the way, the Bible's against that. Traditions of men. Traditionally, she's been taught, oh yeah, I can. If I do this and this and this and this and this, I'll probably make it. How many know that's the wrong answer? Folks, listen. Our Bible teaches us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It burdens me. You say, preacher, why do you preach on this so much? Because I talk to men and women who have been born and they grew up in churches down here and they still have the wrong answer for why they're saved. You say, well, that's between them and God. Yeah, but when they can't tell me biblically how they know they're going to heaven, there's a problem. And it ought to burden you. The very fact that an eternal lake of fire is awaiting people who think they're going to heaven because of what they've done. Folks, if what you do got you to heaven, Jesus Christ never would have left the right hand of the Father 2,020-something years ago. You want to talk about breaking a tradition? Here's one for you. 4,000 years, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God. And all of a sudden, God looks over and says, hey, you got to go. How do you think Jesus felt about that? Y'all with me here? Hey, but it was for a good reason. You're going to go down there. You're going to live 33 and a half years. You're going to dwell among men. You're going to do miracles. People are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. But God. Aren't you glad that tradition was broken? You know why? Because you wouldn't have eternal life without it. I'm glad God saw the need to send His only begotten Son Jesus to die. What you can know is that you are ready for the return of Christ. Number two, we know it's going to happen quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know no man knows when. We know you can know for yourself. And we know that it's going to happen quickly. And I don't mean like it could happen in the next couple of minutes. I doubt it. Just because I believe what the Bible says, some more stuff has to happen that has not happened yet. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, the Bible says this. Let's go to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You ever watch someone blink? Happens quick, don't it? So fast that you can't even fathom how quick it actually happens. It's going to happen very fast. The time to prepare is now. Because why? Because God is a just God. He cares not who you are, where you come from, what your mom and daddy's name is, how much money you got, how much you give to the church, how much you do in the church, how much you don't go to church, or how much you do go to church. God doesn't care about any of that. He cares about Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. You got to go through Jesus Christ. The time to prepare is now, because we have a just God. He's no respecter of persons. He died so that whosoever shall may come. Matthew 24, 27 says this, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What else do we know? Well, we know this, that we have a job to do while we're waiting. Go with me to the book of Matthew 25. We have a job to do while we're waiting. Matthew 25, verse 13 says this, watch, therefore. You know, you see that word therefore, and when I was in Bible college, I used to have a preacher that would say this. When you see that word therefore, you need to figure out what it's there for. Y'all with me? Here's what the Bible says. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We should be watching. Watching what? For the souls of men and women around us. Preacher, that's not my problem. I already told you that. It's not my problem. Look, I know that many of you still don't think it's your problem. But listen, when you stand before a sovereign God and a holy God who saved your wretched soul, and you stand there and you say, God, I know I spent my whole life down there and I was thinking about the big self. Aren't you glad I got saved? Aren't you glad I get to come to heaven? I bet you've been waiting, my anticipating me getting here. All them things I used to do. And God just kind of looks down and says something like this. You've done an awful lot of stuff for you. And you start looking around and God opens up the lid to hell and maybe you see those faces of the people that He told you to go talk to. Maybe you see the faces of your neighbors who you've lived by for years and never once mentioned Jesus. Maybe you see your buddies in the hunting club or at school or at work who we conversate with all the time, but never about Christ. But they're our friends. We love them. Hey, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You ought to be watching for the souls of men and women around us. Everyone around us is going to see death and or the rapture. And by the way, they will face judgment. What else do we know? Verse number 3 in our text talks about them talking about when they shall say peace and safety. This world is strongly underestimating the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed returning. Another story from just this week. Same apartment complex. Matter of fact, two doors over. Knocked on the door, lady come out the door. I said, hey, let me ask you about Jesus. What do you know about eternity? What do you know about heaven and hell? So he goes, oh, I used to believe in God and I used to be a Christian, but I chose not to be a Christian anymore. She said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God anymore. But if I choose to believe, I'll read this someday and maybe I'll come visit your church. Hey, you know what that tells me? That this world is dumbfounded. They have no real knowledge of God. And the fact that that doesn't bother some of us as Christians worries me. People don't even acknowledge that Jesus Christ is returning. They think it's all good. We're good. We're safe. It's just like the testimony Brother Scott gave this morning. A man rang the bell. He's free of cancer. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. 2 weeks later, his wife has cancer. You know what we have? We live in a life full of unexpected things. Tragedy is all around us. Before next week, everybody in here could have a tragic story to tell next Sunday. Some of you may not even be here next Sunday. Two former members of our church have died in the last 10 days. 10 days, two members. You see what I'm saying? We live in a life of unexpected. What are we doing? Only what's done for Christ will last. Acknowledge the fact that Jesus is actually coming. They think it's all good, we're safe. But little do they know that destruction to all that believe not is quickly coming. This will be an inescapable event that takes place and will usher in eternal damnation to all that are lost. Verse number 6 of our text in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible teaches us not to fall asleep on the things of God. When we fall asleep, what do you mean fall asleep, preacher? Ain't sleep good? Yeah, physical sleep's good for you. It helps you. But you know, when you fall asleep on the things of God, how do you do that? Well, here's just a few ways you can fall asleep. Start something and then quit. Say you're going soul winning and don't show up. Say you're going to Bible study, don't show up. Start skipping church because you got better things to do. Hello? Falling asleep on the... Since when was church a bad thing? It's not a bad thing. Hey, the more church, the better. I just sat a week ago and sat under 15 messages in 5 days. Well, that's because you're the preacher. And you're... No. It's because I love the Lord. And I don't have better things to do than serve Him. Sometimes I think I do. And God has a real funny way of changing my mind sometimes. Sometimes He lets me go off and do what I want to do. And then hindsight, 2 or 3 weeks down the road, I'll look back and say, I wonder why that happened. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And God will remind you, say, hey, remember that plan I had for you? Be not deceived. God is not what? Mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, your business ought to be about whatever God has you do. Nothing else should matter to you as a Christian. It shouldn't matter what mom and dad think. We're going to talk about that this morning. And brother and sister, you know, Jesus uses some pretty strong words in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And literally talks about, paraphrasing here, if you don't hate your mom, hate your dad, hate your brother, not literal, I hate you, I don't want to talk to you, but if they come before God, Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. Y'all with me? See, we put things, family, friends, over the things of God. When in reality, without God, we would be absolutely what? Nothing. Folks, we've got to get to a place where we realize where we get our stuff from. Where we get our blessings from. Learn to love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ and be not slack in the things that God has called you to do. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is what? Profitable unto what? All things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know what we need to get away from? Anything that's not godly. Say, preacher, how do you do that? Well, it's like this. I heard a preacher say at camp just a couple weeks ago, you have zero chance of making it as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you ain't going to go to heaven, but I'm saying you have zero chance of fulfilling God's plan for your life if you do not learn to read your Bible. I'd be amazed to ask the question to this. How many have ever actually read the Bible cover to cover? Many of us have not. How many have ever read through all four Gospels? How many have ever read Paul's letters? Hey, he was a tough preacher, wasn't he? That joker heard about something going on. You know what he did? He told him about it. And he said, how could you? Know ye not that ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Here's what you ought to do. Glorify God in your body and in your soul, which are His. He preached on those things and he led his churches to live godly. And he preached against anything and everything that came in that was ungodly. How do I know if I'm anticipating his return? Well, here's a simple answer. Are you helping fulfill the Great Commission? Preacher, here you go again. Matthew chapter 28. Go with me there. Are you helping fulfill the Great Commission? And by the way, it's not how many people did you get saved? Look, it's how many people did God use you to point people to Him. It's all about Him. All you're doing is being obedient. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the what? Increase. Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20 says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, go ye therefore, go ye therefore, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, what is my job as a man of God? Here it is. Go, teach, baptize, and teach. Go where? All the world. Do what? Teach all nations. And then what? When they get it, when they get saved, we baptize them. And then we just leave them alone and let them figure it out on their own. No, then it says teaching them. Disciple them. That's why we have discipleship. That's why it's important. You want to lose your church members? Don't disciple the new baby Christians. Don't tell them. Don't help them understand who they are in Christ. That is our job. Go, teach, baptize, and teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Realize this. Hey, Jesus is with you wherever you go. Isn't that amazing to think about? God's not going to call us to do anything that He's not going to be right there with us. And then lastly, verse 8 in our scripture of 1 Thessalonians teaches us to put on the breastplate of faith and love. We should be constantly sharing about our faith in Jesus Christ and the love He has shown toward us despite ourselves. We should be sharing the John 3:16 love with anyone and everyone. And what is that John 3:16 love? You know it. For God so loved the what? World, that He gave His only begotten Son. Can I say this? Love gives. We live in a world where taking is a big deal, right? But what does love do? It gives. Bible said it's more blessed to what? Give than to what? Receive. Hey, what are you doing this morning about the return of Christ? If Jesus were to return right now, would you be surprised? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Sunday school. Lord, thank you for the men and women who are here outside getting ready to come in. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, we would have nothing without you. Lord, I ask you in this next hour, Lord, as we honor our fathers, Lord, I just pray, God, that, Lord, that we'll do diligence to you as well as to them. Lord, I pray, God, for this upcoming song service. Pray for Brother Scott and Miss Barb and the other piano players as they get ready, Lord, and that everything we sing and play will honor and glorify you this morning. Lord, just thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a father. Lord, on Father's Day, I couldn't think of a greater father than you. Thank you for my dad. Lord, I just ask you now to just, Lord, be with us now as we go about our day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.